The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good afternoon, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Good afternoon to you. Happy to talk in the afternoon to the afternoon crew for a bit of a change. Lots of activity going on today. It's been a busy day in Israel today.
I can see the news there. And anyway, glad to be with you again, Anthony. So Israel, Egypt and the European Union today signed a memorandum of understanding for the export of Israeli gas to Europe. So what are the details of the memorandum of understanding?
So this is just a continuation of some of the work that's been going on in the background and even in the foreground more recently with the visit to Israel earlier this week of the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and von der Leyen, and also the Prime Minister of Italy was here earlier in the week to talk about gas issues. Well, things seem to have moved forward very, very quickly on the European Union side, because there has been a ceremony in Cairo earlier today involving the energy ministers of Israel, Egypt and the European Union, who signed this memorandum of understanding that will see Israeli gas exported to Europe. And the way that this will work is that the gas will be transferred from Israel to Egypt via an existing pipeline, and then in Egypt, Egypt apparently has facilities to liquefy gas. And once the gas is liquefied, it can then be transported, I guess, by ship to countries in Europe in order to provide natural gas to Europe. And of course, the background is the fact that up until now, the European Union has been very much dependent on Russia for gas. And Russia has decided to play much harder ball against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine. In addition to that, the European Union has become less enthusiastic, about the possibility of using Russian gas. And so there is a huge hole to fill in Europe with the Russian gas effectively not being utilized any longer. Some 150 billion cubic meters of gas that Russia has been providing to the European Union up until now. We understand that where Israel is concerned, obviously only a very, very small piece of that demand can be filled. But nonetheless, it's very exciting for Israel. And of course, from an economic perspective, very, very important for Israel that we will be able to somehow help in some way to fill this massive hole that's been left by the lack of Russian gas in Europe. So a nice little ceremony in Cairo today, very exciting indeed. And I think it is a very strong indicator of things to come, where I think Israel is going to become an increasingly important player in the supply of gas to Europe. It means that Israel will also have to increase its own productivity, to increase the amount of gas that is currently being extracted from the various gas fields that are in the Mediterranean within Israeli territorial waters. But all in all, I think it's a very, very nice little moment when the European Union and Israel have agreed via Egypt to provide this gas to the EU.
And the Israel government announced today that it has halted trips to Poland by school students. Why has this been stopped?
Well, the whole idea of school trips to Poland has become a relatively essential part of Israeli high school education, where school students in high school, normally in and around the 10th grade, get the opportunity, or have at least up until now, had the opportunity to travel as a group to Poland. They've entered into a program of study which revolves around particularly the events of the Shoah, of the Holocaust, and have then visited key sites in Poland, most notably the Auschwitz death camp facility. That's been very much part of the program of education for high school students in Israel. And it's all really part of an idea that to visit the death camps and to witness firsthand what is there and some of the artifacts that have been left behind, and just to be there in person leaves a much stronger educational impression on children, where we're getting to the stage now where Holocaust survivors are in very, very short supply. And within a few years, we will already be at the situation where there will be no first-hand witnesses alive any longer, people who can then tell their story about what happened during the period of the Shoah. And of course, these school trips have been a very important part of their education process. The problem is that the Polish government have decided that they have been unfairly blamed for many of the activities that happened on their soil in Poland during the period of the Shoah. And in fact, in Poland, they even promulgated a law that actually prohibits discussing what Poles did during the period of the Shoah. That attitude has also impacted on Israeli school trips to Poland, where at this point, the Israeli government feels that the Poles want to not only have some say over, but even control to some extent, the content that is being taught in these school trips that go to Poland, as a result of which Foreign Minister Yair Lapid today announced that Israel will ban Israeli youth trips to Poland going forward in order to protest essentially against the attempt by the Poles to manipulate the educational content that is being presented to these youth delegations when they go on their trip to Poland. So I think this is a great loss to our Israeli youth, because as it gets further and further away from the events of the Shoah, I think that it becomes more and more important for people to see whatever firsthand evidence is potentially available. And of course, by banning these school trips, it makes that a lot more difficult. But I'm interested to know what the listeners feel about this, and whether they feel that, you know, it's important to continue these school trips, even though the content might be subject to manipulation by the Poles or not. It's an interesting discussion. The Israeli government has made its decision. Do we think that that's the right decision to make?
I do agree. It's a very interesting discussion, and I would love our listeners to weigh in and to give us their feedback on that. Definitely very interesting. Thousands of Israelis reported to have traveled to Istanbul in spite of the warning of an imminent attack. And the question, Anthony, is why are these people still insistent on traveling to Istanbul?
I think there's a few aspects to it. I think that perhaps some of the numbers are slightly skewed by the fact that Istanbul is a very popular layover destination where people catch connecting flights out of Istanbul Airport, and that up until now has not been banned or discouraged by the Israeli government. So as things stand at the moment, the idea of catching a connecting flight, which of course is a are you with me, Gary?
Anthony, yeah, I think, sorry, there was a break in the signal. Would you please just repeat that?
The Istanbul Airport is a very popular point where many, many people travel through in order to catch connecting flights to other destinations. So I think that the numbers have been somewhat skewed when reflecting the people who are actually not traveling to Istanbul as a destination, but rather traveling there as some sort of a connecting destination. But I think that Israelis are also just super independent in the way they think. So even though the Israeli government may have come down saying, don't dare travel there, people say, why should the government be dictating what I do for my holiday? I'm going to do it anyway. And I think the third thing is that for some reason, Israelis expect, and actually mostly their expectations are fulfilled in terms of getting government help and support in the event that something might be going wrong, just in planning or extricating people from difficult situations. To be honest, the story that I discussed in the morning show that happened last week, where a couple were warned not to go back to the hotel because Iranian assassins were apparently at the hotel waiting for them, is a story that still resonates in my mind, because I am not aware of other countries who protect their citizens, especially when they travel abroad, to the same extent that the Israeli government does. So maybe that has a double-edged sword associated with it, where not only the Israeli government helps to protect citizens, but indeed is then expected to help to protect citizens, because that's just what they do. So it seems that the people are intent upon traveling. And of course, the return to travel after the recent lockdown is also a factor. But I hope that people are at least being aware of the reports and the warnings that have been issued, because we would not wish to find out that there have been some incident in Istanbul where apparently members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are moving around and are present. And that warning that was issued for Istanbul, a level 4 warning, which says that danger is imminent, immediate, and real, that warning remains in place, at least for now.
And I'm sure that I'm sure people are sort of adhering to the warning, and I'm sure it's quite prominently sort of displayed, and everyone's aware of it, and people are taking heed of it. I'm sure of that.
I think it's difficult to be in Israel right now and not to be aware of this warning. Yeah. It has been publicized very, very broadly indeed. And of course, I think that even in our particular situation, where we are very accustomed to high-level security and high-level intelligence, and of course, the Israeli security services operating very, very broadly with their long arms reaching as far as possible abroad in foreign countries, even with the Israelis accustomed to all of that, I think the story about this couple who were rescued from the Grand Bazaar and instructed not to go back to the hotel, but were rather whisked back to Israel, I think has taken a lot of people by surprise, and has brought home the very, very real threat that exists in Istanbul and perhaps more broadly in Turkey. So, we'll obviously be watching that situation. But good news is that at least there is some interesting and good things coming out of Israel today, with the especially with that signing of a memorandum of understanding on the gas deal. I think that's a very, very significant and an exciting moment for us.
Absolutely, most definitely. And Anthony Reich with our Israel report. Thank you so much, and have a good evening.